This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And it is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Oh, my gosh.
Well, and to follow up, Easter Day was wonderful. Saturday mm-hmm. was wonderful. Friday, I am loving this early spring weather. I just get a little nervous when we're this warm this early in the season.
I know. Plus, it's also waking up all the bugs. Mm-hmm. And we have a little issue with ticks because we live kind of rural in the woods. And my chickens, I love them to death, but they can't keep up with the ticks. And so,
Yeah, that's not fun. I mean, I think while we were out, took the kids out a little Easter egg hunt in the front yard on Sunday. Uh-huh. I had my first experience with those bees wanting to follow people around. So,
I hate, why God, why bugs? Why? I know they're part of the food chain. They're part of the circle of life and all that. As we know, like the ticks, they're food for the chickens and food for other things. But my gosh. So with the good, you got to take the bad because it's super warm. It's beautiful. It's sunny. 65, 70 degrees. I mean, I am loving it. It's going to be that way all week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And of course, I got my fair share of this weekend. We were hosting some spring touch football, flag football over the weekend. So I was out at the football field all day Saturday and then had my little Easter surprise a little early as my first grandchild was born on Saturday night.
Yay!
And then, of course, so it meant kind of a hibernation sleep Saturday night to wake up Sunday for Easter.
Yeah.
And then did some stuff, took the girls out for a little photo shoot and then went and visited the baby in the hospital. So
yeah, that's so exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's perfect. These spring Easter babies. I know it's level of brand new life. Mm-hmm. We love it. We love it. One of the things we had really a quiet Easter where we are. It was pretty quiet, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. Kind of, you don't have little ones that are now grandbabies and everything in the picture, so that'll change. But for right now, it was very, very quiet. But what we have been doing is watching all of the Artemis II stuff. And I know my son and his wife have been kind of hunkered down. Everything's quiet, really can't go anywhere. And they've had that on in the background, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm digging it because I've got, it's on the TV screen here behind me. They're getting close to the moon, and they've already broken the record for the furthest any Earthling mm-hmm. has been away from Earth. And so I'm totally geeking out about this. And I kind of am thinking if your friends aren't excited about this, find some new friends because this is like the coolest thing.
Well, and in seeing kind of updates, they've gone farther than any person has ever traveled away from the Earth. And now coming up, they have that bit of silence as they circle on around the moon where they're going to lose all communication. Yeah. So that can be a little intimidating. I would imagine you're that far away from home and all of a sudden you're hearing nothing.
I know. And then I saw some video and I don't remember which one. I kind of clicked onto it. One of the astronauts was naming a spot for his late wife, and it was really emotional. I didn't think I was going to get that emotional. Name for his wife, Carol, spelled with two R's and two L's. And it was really quite a lovely tribute, and all the astronauts on board were in tears, and pretty much everybody watching is like, oh, I'm not crying. You're crying. Not me. I'm fine. So that's just very cool. I'm super excited about this and all the tech that goes into this. And I don't have any time for the people that are like, well, that money could go to whatever. Sure. Mm-hmm. When we look at all the fraud, waste, and abuse and everything else down here on planet Earth, I am good with this. I love this.
That's right. Yeah. Send the money to space. At least we know it's going to a good cause.
Right. And again, we may get something like Tang out of it. So. Oh, I did see a funny story too, and this made me laugh. I got to find it. This was because the nice weather, just sort of segueing to the nice weather. There's a story out of KATU on this is on X. As warm weather draws more people to dine outside, Portland is urging customers and businesses to take a closer look at curbside outdoor patios, warning that the structures are not properly maintained, could pose a hazard risk. And they could cause you trouble. And I like this. It's like, well, at least it's that's the least of it in downtown Portland. It's more like a dystopian obstacle course of poop, trash, and used needles. A flimsy outdoor dining tent is nothing.
Yeah, and of course, this all started during COVID, where they told us, you know, you can't dine inside. That's unsafe. So we'll make outside an inside area, and that'll be cool.
Yeah, right? And then because the virus won't, you'll trick the virus. It will go, wait, what? You move the outside inside, and now what? Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's that stupid.
Well, it's like, you know, my thought process of, you know, you sit down at a table and you can take your mask off because COVID's just hovering about 4 feet high in the air. But if you stand up or even start to sit, you better put that mask right back on because, gosh darn it, you're going to put your head right into a big wad of COVID.
Right. Do you remember? Okay, this is from the Willy Wonka movie from the early 70s. Remember when they were like Mike TV and they were in the TV lab and they shrunk him down and they had all the little molecules.
Yeah,
there he goes. He's going over there. And then he's going to be this teeny little guy. That's COVID, apparently, according to them. So if you stand up and get into that stream, you're just like covered in COVID. Mm-hmm. It's dripping from you. But if you sit down, I guess you could wipe it all off and you'd be okay.
Well, no,
then if you're doing it in a tent where you got the inside moved outside, but it's really inside outside, you're good.
Well, I think it, you know, if you duck down, it all just comes off you because gravity has some kind of weird effect on it that, you know, keeps it 4 feet hovering.
I know.
But wait, it doesn't make sense then because how does it get small children if it's hovering above them constantly? Come on. I'm so confused by how this thing worked.
I'm so confused. Honestly, I think these stupid outdoor, most of them have been taken down, yeah. I think.
A lot of them
have. There's no reason to have them up. Some of them were kind of cool. I got to admit, I went to a couple in downtown Salem that they did a nice job with it. Again, anybody with two brain cells to rub together was like, this is stupid. But a lot, you know, you had to kind of comply, especially with restaurants being on such a tight and a really narrow, you know, razor thin profit margin if you wanted to stay open. I mean, I remember at the beginning of it really doing a lot of ordering out when we still thought it was just going to be 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Silly us. Doing a lot of takeout and ordering and going down. I remember supporting Adam's Rib and getting, you know, we would go down and get meals and a lot of people did that. So I get that. But the outdoor dining stuff, time to take those, just remove them, shut them down.
Yeah, and that's the thing is some places did it up. There's some restaurants which they actually spent the time and the money to build an enclosed awning that can open and close and things like that. That's great. The ones that, literally put out a tent with some weights on it kind of a thing. I'm going, let's save that for the smoking section of a bar, okay?
Well, and then as it went on and it went into winter, then they had, you know, heaters in there. So I remember at Christmas going to, it's not there anymore, Rudy's, but Rudy's had a big tent out there and they did it up. I mean, it was really pretty. It was kind of cool the way they did it. But again, you're like in a tent when there's a perfectly good restaurant right there.
And there's the kickers. We are now 5 to 6 years removed from that scenario. So I can imagine some of those are on their last legs if they're still being utilized. But when you're talking about Portland, there's a whole lot more things that are potential to get in the way than an awning or a tent that you're dining under.
Plus, those are parking spots.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone talks about, you know, complains about there's a lack of parking and not a lot of parking. Well, you've got, you know, these things took up 3, 4, 5 mm-hmm. parking spaces.
Yeah.
And there's no need for that anymore. So anyway, we'll have to see. And that made me laugh out loud. And so, all right, well, let's go ahead and take a break. You are listening to on this beautiful sunny day. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Salem Clinic Urgent Care.
All righty, welcome back, everybody. We are going to jump right into our next segment. We've got joining us today, TJ Sullivan from Hagen Hamilton Insurance. And we have TJ on once a month to promote. He does, you're going to hear PSAs that he does that are going to be played throughout the month. And TJ, I'm going to toss it to you. You've got a guest in the studio. So go ahead and introduce your guest and talk to us about who you're going to be promoting for Community Champions this month.
You bet. This is Craig Smith with the Union Gospel Mission. Hi,
hey.
Craig.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I heard you guys talking about the beautiful weather, and I think everybody is like excited to be outside in the weather right now. And so I wanted to have Craig on because the Union Gospel Mission does amazing work inside of our community to help the folks that are unsheltered, and that's certainly a topic that is on everybody's lips. And Craig is unique in this role. He took over for Dan Clem, who Denise, you and I know really well.
Right. Dan's over at the Kaiser Chamber now.
Dan's over at the Kaiser Chamber. And so Craig your background is as a lobbyist, right?
I am. Yes, I did government affairs for the food industry for 35 years. Go ahead.
So, yeah, with the weather, everybody is outside. I mean, we were just talking about out there. There's a big thing to get rid of those outdoor structures that came up for COVID. So there's all kinds of obstacles to downtown. Now, you're dealing with the population that is homeless in the downtown area. So talk to us about what warm weather does to sort of change that dynamic and what people might see downtown.
Well, I think it causes people to be able to be outside more. We see our numbers go down a little bit at the Mission. Not a lot, though. I mean, over the last weekend, we probably are down 10, 15 in-house. But I think what we see is a lot more people coming in for meals. So last month, for instance, we served over 15,000 meals at the Men's Mission during the month, which is a lot of food. And our overnight numbers tend to drop a little bit when the weather warms. I think from our ministry's perspective, we don't see a ton of difference. It was really interesting this last winter. It wasn't that cold, and so our numbers really didn't hit the high point that they usually do.
So as we talk about like how to best help and care for people who are homeless, there is this narrative in Salem that says, if you don't let people sleep and camp wherever they want to, you're mean and heartless. And then I read the article in the Statesman about a gentleman who overdose underneath the Center Street Bridge. And I mean, that just broke my heart, because it was like, if we, you know, the Union Gospel Mission, there's accountability there, but it's not without, you know, encouragement, grace, and the support. Like, it's not like we're going to hold you accountable for the decisions you make, but we're not going to walk alongside you and help you make better decisions. That's what they're there to do. And I think it's one of the great opportunities we have. We have a fantastic structure. It was built like, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah, we're five years in now in the new building. Mm-hmm.
And is it full, or do you have any?
We're not full. When we built the building, we built it at a aspirational capacity. We have over 200 overnight beds, plus our New Life Fellowship up on the third floor, which all total, we have close to 300 beds at UGM. So it's a big facility.
So when people drive by and they think, gosh, I wish those people had a place to sleep that wasn't outside. There is one.
There is. Yeah. And we have not filled up. We came close a couple times this winter, but not completely full. So like at the old Mission, we used to have guys on mats. We don't have that anymore. And so, you know, we're actively looking at doing outreach. We haven't been super great at outreach because everybody knows where we are. But we have been doing some work. In particular, we have a building partnership with Bebold Street Ministries to reach out. They do a great job of outreach. We do a really good job of discipleship. And so we're partnering together and, in fact, are looking to formalize that. That's a pretty exciting new adventure for us.
Yeah, I think that's great. They're like the travel agents that are out. Oh, getting people in.
those guys are awesome.
That's a good way to put it.
Such great people. Mm-hmm. And they really have good connections out in the homeless communities. And so in the camps, and particularly over in West Salem at Wallace Marine and downtown. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at actually having them join us in our building and be present there. So that's going to be a great partnership for us.
That would be great.
Craig, talk to us. When we hear accountability, because a lot of people, that's a word that comes up a lot. It's come up a lot in this race for Salem City Council, where you've got two sort of divergent views on how to deal with this issue. Talk to us a little bit about what accountability means at UGM.
Well, it's at different levels. And so for our general population, for our guests that come in and they're just looking for overnight services or food, we have some very basic accountability requirements for them. So for men that are staying with us, if they stay more than one or two nights, they're assigned to a case manager. Mm-hmm. And everybody that stays with us has a plan. And so we have a plan for whether it's to get services, some mental health referral, or a job. Everybody has to be making progress towards some kind of a plan to continue to stay with us. If they don't make progress, then we'll ask them to go someplace else, at least for a period of time. But we try to hold everybody accountable to the plan that they're on. We also have some basic just behavioral things that we will ask people to do. We want them to be sober We're a low barrier shelter, so we don't UA or test people when they come in. But if they're obviously drunk or high, we can't serve them at that point. So that's at one level. And then the real core of our ministry is our New Life Fellowship program, which people don't 100% always know about. But this is a long-term discipleship program where guys will be with us for 12 to 18 months. They live up on the third floor. We also do this at Simonka, our women's ministry. And so it's a long-term relationship. We get to know them. They have very definite goals. We have some things that, some incredible opportunities, but we'll help them deal with things like false beliefs and other things that, that cause them to want to stay in their old lifestyle. But the primary thing that we're looking for is transformational life change through Christ, which is our the core of our ministry.
Yeah. I saw a story about Simonka Place. There was a milestone with Simonka. I volunteered out at Simonka, and it's a wonderful, wonderful resource for the community.
Yeah, we just finished last week. We had an open house last week because we just finished a renovation, and that place... It
looked great.
Oh, it's not even the same place. It just looks so good. And so we've upgraded the living conditions, and we've also, what we really did through this renovation was to increase our ability to serve moms with kids. We've really had a tough time with that. And so we now have private rooms so moms aren't sharing rooms with other families and that their kids can have a room of their own. That's going to be a game changer for us, and it's already starting to fill.
I know a lot of times people are looking for a place, like, I want to help. You can't see people who are unsheltered and just be like, well, I'm not going to help them and turn your back on them. I know a lot of people are looking for ways to help, and I believe that one of the best ways that you can help people in Salem who are unsheltered is by financially giving to the Union Gospel Mission. And I just think there's a lot of businesses that have helped to raise the money for the new facility. We've got a talented staff in there. Craig is a great executive director. And Simonka Place is doing really well. The men's mission is doing really well. And I think the more that we can support it financially as a community, the better off our community will look.
There is the thrift store. There's still, as far as ways for people to support that way too, if they want to.
Yes. Yeah, the thrift store is doing great. In fact, last fall we really flipped the format there. It's primarily driven by volunteers now. And so we only have a couple paid staff at the thrift store anymore, but we also have a donation center, and so those two work together very closely. I will say this: we have some of the most generous supporters in the world. I mean, it's just incredible how people come alongside, either volunteering or financially, sacrificially giving to us. It's just amazing.
Well, as far as the executive director goes, we hit a home run with Craig. He could be making a lot more money probably, continuing to work as a lobbyist, although he'd have to work with politicians.
Oh, so, TJ, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I did that 35 years. I'm really happy really happy not to be there. I lobbied Oregon, Washington, and Idaho, and I can tell you, I don't miss it. It was fun. There are a lot of great people in that process, so I don't want to, disparage all of them. But I will disparage some of them. I just won't mention them by name. So,
No, we don't want you to do that.
No, it's all good. I had a wonderful time doing that. And I got to work with the food processing industry for a lot of years.
Yeah,
just a wonderful bunch of people. So that was all good. But man, what I'm doing now, I just absolutely love it. And I never, ever thought I would do this. A year ago, I would have told you, I guess a little over a year ago. It's been amazing. I'm almost a year in now.
Wow. So for people that want to volunteer, we got, about two minutes left, Hunter?
Yeah.
Who want to volunteer, like I said, the mustache and I volunteered over there. We worked in the kitchen. A lot of people will donate the food. I remember making like a bread pudding or something with donuts. And it was just this amazing, but there are ways to help. This was at Thanksgiving, but there are other opportunities.
There are. Food donations we'll take at the Men's Mission or at Simonka at any time. You can just pull up to the back of the building. There's a roll-up door back there with a sign. And so we'll take those anytime. But volunteering, there are hundreds of ways. And one thing that we're looking for right now is people to spend time out in the day room, especially at the men's mission, to get to know our guys at mealtimes, to serve them. Right now, they go through line, pick up food. We'd really love to have enough people to where we could serve them, pick up the trays, and get to know them. Because what we see is most of our men and women, they need community. They need people that get to know them and care about them. They're really, for the, you know, just the vast majority of them are such nice people, and they are in tough straits. And so it's a fun place to be.
I know there's a whole bunch of people who discovered at Easter that their family members know all their jokes. The men's mission would be a whole new group of people who have never heard your jokes.
Yeah, actually, they probably have, but they'll be very nice to you about it.
What a great fellowship, though, to, like you said, because, you know, there are stories there, and people, they want to share their stories, and I think a lot, and it, you need that humanity. It's more than just this sort of, the numbers don't mean anything. You meet the person, and that means a lot.
Yep.
Real quick, TJ, we're almost out of time, but you're going to be spotlighting this all month. What can we expect when we hear this vignette?
Just the PSA. Just more of the same. It's hope, you know. It feels if you drive by, you drive down the Center Street Bridge, you drive down Front Street, and you just think, gosh, this is hopeless. Mm-hmm. This is more than what any one person can do. But with Craig and his team, we have a lot of people there that can help.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that. Those will be airing all month long. Craig Smith, TJ, Hagen Hamilton, and UGM, thanks, guys, for coming, and we appreciate you. All right, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this beautiful, beautiful spring day, April 6th, after a wonderful Easter weekend. We're going to keep rolling along with guests in the studio today. We've got, now, Dave, I'm going to butcher your name. So I'm going to just say Dave from Asphalt Armor is here to talk to us about his company. Okay, Dave, how do you say your last name?
All right. My name's David Vogt. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, well, that's easy. Yeah, that's not what I thought, but I didn't. I never know.
Keep it simple.
We're going to remember that one for the next, month and a half or so.
right. Okay, so you are with Asphalt Armor. You're one of our sponsors here on KYKN, and we can't thank you enough for that. Sponsoring local, you know, local family-owned radio. I mean, everything's a big conglomerate, so we appreciate your sponsorship with us. So we wanted to have you on to give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about Asphalt Armor.
Great.
And why you guys are just like the go-to place, especially if you've got like a driveway or, you know?
Yeah. Well, Asphalt Armor was started in 2021. I actually worked on it in 2020 during COVID. I was an asphalt consultant then. I had sold my asphalt paving business. So I was in the business for 30 years and got called to Pahrump, Nevada, to Spring Mountain Motorsports to fix their racetrack. They had paved a new racetrack and it was raveling in the corners. The fine aggregates were coming out of the surface due to the high heat and friction of the race cars.
Sure.
And they race on them every day. This is where they do the Corvette National Driving School is there. So I went back to my lab. There was nothing on the market that would fix it. So I created a coating. We went down and put it down in November of that year of 2020, and they're still racing on it today, protecting the racetrack. That's a very expensive coating, but I took the next year and refined the process into coming up with truly an asphalt coating that would extend the life of asphalt pavements, which is what Asphalt Armor does. I refined the process because you're not driving on your parking lot at 120 miles an hour.
Right.
So it doesn't need to be quite that durable, but it still created a very durable coating that is cost effective enough that people can buy it and extend the life of their asphalt another 5 or 10 years.
Wow, that's cool. I know when we did some modifications on our house in Salem, and that new asphalt is so pretty. It's black. It's not necessarily shiny, but it just looks new.
Yeah.
And then over time, pretty quickly, it doesn't anymore. So this fixes that.
Yes, there's three benefits to our product. Number one, it's a non-petroleum-based product. So the carbon footprint is very low, helps save on the carbon emissions. Number two, it goes on black and it stays black for the life of the product. You physically have to wear it off to get it to not look black anymore. And in number three, it does not oxidize in the sun. So the product is going to be there until it's physically worn off from traffic. So unlike other coatings that oxidize and get brittle and flake off, asphalt armor is there to stay for many, many years.
That sounds downright revolutionary.
Well, we like to think it is. It's a patent-pending formula right now.
Oh, good. I was just going to ask you. I mean, I hope, Dave, you have the patent for that.
Yes.
Because I would think, are you going to expand that? Now, this is in Salem, Mid-Willamette Valley area. Is this something that you're going to franchise, or what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, we do. So right now, we work all over Oregon. We have a contractor's license in Washington, California, and Nevada. So we're licensed to go out of state and work in those areas. But we currently have a new partner called Primeline Coatings. They're in Silicon Valley in San Jose. So they're taking their first order in the next week or so of our product. And we'll be manufacturing it here in Salem and shipping it to them to put on parking lots and driveways in the Silicon Valley area.
Cool. Yeah, I see this. How does it do in really, really cold weather? Like if you wanted to expand into the Midwest, say?
It does good. It's just the timing or the window of opportunity to put it down is shrinks because it has to be really 60 degrees or warmer and dry out for the day for it to put it down. So, you know, when you're talking North Dakota or Montana,
you got like a few months.
Yeah. You got July 4th through the 15th to do your work. Yeah. So,
Hunter, did you have a question?
No, I am just impressed. I mean, to kind of hear in the idea of it maintaining itself in hot, high, desert weather. You know, for umpteen years with cars driving at those kinds of speeds, I'm thinking about right here around town where we can't get a pothole filled for more than 2 weeks at a time, you know?
Well, it's lasted 5 years, not umpteen. But the other thing is we have multiple coatings that we use. So we can go out to a very aged, alligatored, cracked asphalt pavement where everybody else would tell you the only option is to tear it out and repave it. And we can go in there and we can put our Asphalt Armor Rescue 2-coat process down, and it glues it back together, gives you a new surface for another 5 to 7 years, buys you time to make that expensive investment to repave your asphalt. So we truly are in the business of extending the life of asphalt pavements.
Wow. Plus, you know, it's not cheap. I lived in another house out in Marion County where it went from gravel and just the asphalt, just putting the asphalt down on the road and all the driveways was a long, and you can't park on it and everything. So if you're going to make that kind of investment, you really do want to protect it.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to see a good example of it, Elegant Catering right at the intersection of Broadway and River Road here in Kaiser. We coated that parking lot 4 years ago and it was cracked up into 8-inch blocks. And we coated it 4 years ago, and it still looks outstanding, still looks black. The cracks are still filled. So it's lasting.
Wow. So your background is in chemistry? I mean, how did you come up with this? Was it in a dream? What was it?
I have an engineering degree from Oregon State University, and I worked in the asphalt paving industry, every facet of it, for 30 years. So I know asphalt like the back of my hand. And I had this opportunity. I kind of knew what I was looking for a new coating, and I was just able to develop it and move forward with it. So
wow, that's cool. And then you did all this right in the height of COVID. So wow, amazing.
I didn't have much else to do.
Right. Yeah. So here, I'll come up with this revolutionary asphalt armor. Why not?
Exactly.
So Dave, I think that's so awesome. I love stories like that, and then success stories like that. So do you have a website? Because I'm sure people are hearing this, and it's like, you know, when it's springtime, people are putting their houses on the market. They may have a little kind of a not so nice.
Yep.
And this would be a great thing for them to look at.
Yes. It's asphaltarmor.com. Very simple. That's the name of our company, Asphalt Armor. It's the name of our product. And just visit asphaltarmor.com. And you're right, you know, the thing that people need to understand and what we tell everyone is your parking lot or driveway is the first impression for any new visitors to your house or your business. So if that looks bad, it's a bad reflection on you as a person or your business. So, you know, you want to get that cleaned up and we can make it look beautiful and give you some extra life for your pavement and help save you some money in the long run, get you some return on investment.
Well, we talk about that all the time on our real estate insight shows about, you know, it is a fashion show and you got to be the prettiest one to be picked out. I'm sitting there going, a nice black asphalt armor driveway would be a big plus for a lot of homes.
Absolutely. Particularly one that's going to last 5, 6, 7 years.
Right. Longer. I know we have a lot of realtors that listen and say, oh, I need to add that to my toolkit for people that are selling their homes.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, Asphalt Armor, tell us again the website real quick.
AsphaltArmor.com.
Okay, and if you missed that, of course, if you go over to our KYKN.com page, they are listed under sponsors, so you will find them there. Well, Dave, thanks for coming in. What a fascinating company. Let's have you back, because I know you guys are involved out in the community. So,
yep.
You know, if you've got some things going on, especially as we get into summer, later into spring and summer, we'll have you back to share more about that.
Great. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. You bet. You bet. All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Pearland Mill in Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty, welcome back, everybody. Okay, so doing a show, there's tons of stories to cover today. There's a bunch of Portland stuff. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow because we can dig in a little bit deeper because, oh my gosh, Portland needs help. They can't afford their homeless and everything else. But we'll dig into that because there's a lot of moving pieces to that.
Yeah, and we talk about it all the time. It's like there's cause and effect, and Portland is feeling an effect. And I'm going, yeah, 10, 15 minutes, that's not nearly enough time to dig into that thing.
No, because there's a lot to it, and plus the responses. There's another story. This one came out, and this one was interesting because, I mean, I go grocery shopping. The mustache goes grocery shopping. You do. Did you ever think about maybe you should be checking the weights that are on the packages? Is that a thing?
It never crossed my mind. I mean, when you're buying fresh produce, yeah, you throw it in the thing to kind of gauge maybe about how much you're needing versus what you got and this and that. But when you're buying something in a bag or a box, I've never once put it on a scale to see if I'm actually getting what they tell me I'm paying for.
Well, apparently, and again, the thread, I can't find it right off the top, but a lot of people were kind of pushing back on this. This is Walmart. Apparently, Walmart maybe has been fudging the weight on potatoes. Somebody took a labeled 5-pound bag of potatoes, actually put it on the scale, and it came up at 3.5 pounds. So they kind of randomly went in through some other ones and did the same, and it came up the same. So a lot of people are dumping on and dunking on Walmart, but then somebody else said, well, Walmart is relying on the supplier to tell them that they're not reweighing everything because that would be a lot of work. So I'm not quite sure who the culprit is here, but it's like double check it because everything's getting more expensive. You're seeing a box of cereal, if you look at it from 10 years ago, the actual stuff that's in it has shrunk. The amount of chips in a bag has shrunk. So you're paying the same price, but you're getting less.
Well, and see, that was the trick that I believe my mother pointed out to me about 15 years ago with Costco. She's like, the prices never go up or down, but the size of what you're getting gets a little smaller. And I think it was mayonnaise in particular. She pointed out, she's like, you know, you get this big thing of mayonnaise, you know, this year, and next year it's now a little bit of a smaller size, but you're paying the same price. You don't even really notice it until you think about it. Yeah, and I'm sure all these other groceries, I'm looking at this thing and I'm going, yeah, it's likely the supplier shorting them unless, and this is where it is, I don't know how often Walmart calibrates those scales.
Oh, that's
so they
a good
could
question.
Be 5-pound bags and that scale is just way off on calibration. That could be a scenario.
So you're going to weigh your tomatoes, you're going to weigh your grapes, you're going to weigh your avocados. And so, you know, you want to double check that. And maybe they should have like audit stickers of when, I don't know if they do. I've never noticed that. But I wonder if there's an audit sticker like quality control. You see that like for high tech, you know, precision instruments in different places, there's a standard operating procedure or a process for doing that. And it's noted on there. So you know when it was last calibrated.
Yeah, this is not a digital scale where it's going to show you zeros lit up. It is a peg scale. So it's very possible that this scales off because that's the one thing they didn't do is take it to a different scale and see if it weighed anything different scale. So that would, you know, granted, a tweet, an X account, they're probably not really scientific studies, but that is a possibility. But of course, on the flip side, like you said, that's get frustrating if you're thinking, I've got 2 pounds of tomatoes and you get up there and it rings up to 4 pounds.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The other thing I was seeing over the weekend too, and I don't know if I think it's Walmart. It may be there. So you, when you go and you look on at the prices, usually there's paper tags. And I worked in retail. I think you worked in retail. You remember the old pricing guns that were stickers, and you're sticking stickers. Well, now it's more, it's a little, but now they're going to digital. And a lot of people are concerned about that because, you know, Uber and Lyft do that with surge pricing. And then of course this gets into the broader thing about, you know, digital currencies and tracking everything. If you're, you know, is the potential there, if you're a little bit more of means, you're going to pay a little bit more. If you want coffee, are they going to charge you more for coffee at 6 a.m. versus 6 p.m.? So there's some concerns about that. From the retailer side, it's a heck of a lot easier to just go through and boop into your keyboard and change the price.
Yeah, like literally like the gas prices we are seeing right now where, you know, in the morning you're paying this, by afternoon you're paying that. And
So they're going to do that to our avocados and our cereal too?
Potentially. I'm sitting here going, you know, as I keep thinking about the video, I'm going, what they should have done is grabbed a nice big piece of red meat and walked up and then going, oh no, this is a pound and a half less than you say it is. Let me get the discount on the steaks.
Well, honestly, savvy people are going to be like, yeah, I don't trust it. And I think in the video, some of the scales that in the one instance for the Walmart thing with the potatoes was a digital scale, but those can be off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's and there's a whole lot of questions and you're never going to get it out of a tweet or a, you know, X post. But like I said, non-scientific, but it is an interesting thing to start thinking about because we do. We take a lot of leeway in what we're told versus what reality is.
Oh, you mean trusting the experts? Trust the technology. Trust the scale. Trust the scale. And then when everything else is getting so bad, somebody put up a Trader Joe's receipt from like 2024 to feed a family of four, and it was like $444. So, you know, everything is getting more expensive. And so, you know, it behooves you as an educated consumer to know what you're paying for things. Mm-hmm. Okay, this next story, I love this. And you said you were a delivery driver.
I delivered
for pizza.
I delivered pizzas at the tender age of 21 years old.
Wow. This story is, I don't remember when it posted, yesterday. An elderly pizza delivery driver received nearly $50,000 in tips after going out of his way to pick up a customer's Diet Coke. So apparently he had an order. He went, the guy wanted like a 2-liter Diet Coke. And I don't know the chain. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It looks like it was in Idaho somewhere. Didn't have any. They ran out. And so this older gentleman, he looks like he's probably in his 70s, maybe mid 70s. Looks like you're the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet. Thought, I'll go to the convenience store. I'll grab him the Coke. And he goes over and delivers it. And the guy was just like gobsmacked. Like they don't make people like you anymore, which is really a sad statement. And apparently somehow it went viral. And so they set up a GoFundMe or a Give, Send, Go. And the $50,000 donation last time, this was yesterday, it's almost $50,000. And people, yeah, never let yourself forget that there are still a lot of good people. This is like retail. Remember, it used to be you go above and beyond. The customer's always right. You do everything you can to take care of your customer.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, at 21, 22 years old, I was delivering pizzas. And boy, was it easy to forget to grab those drinks. And I did it. I forgot. And I would stop at a mini mart or something and grab them out and about because, you know, I didn't want to get in trouble for not having everything I needed when I get to the delivery. But to imagine that, you know, $50,000 in tips, he refused the extra tip from the guy. And I'm kind of going, it says a lot about where we were versus where we are today. That this is that behavior is above and beyond what anyone is expecting. And I'm kind of going, you kind of should be. But at the same time, you know, to be generous and understand that, yeah, this person went out of his way when they could have just refunded me the $2 or whatever it was and said, sorry, we don't have the Diet Coke, I think is a big deal. And it shows in what this guy has gotten. I'm kind of going, and as a delivery driver, you get some interesting scenarios in the tip world. Everything from I got some pocket change. I mean, I got paid, you know, delivering to a couple of kids on spring break, you know, a bag of coins, which now I'm sitting there counting coins.
Oh, my God.
The whole shebang. I was offered some of that marijuana before it was legalized in the state of Washington when I was out and about. I mean, there were some interesting. Never the ones that, you know, young men always think are going to occur when you're out delivering. So
that's funny. What does Todd Starnes, the devil's lettuce? You got offered the devil's lettuce.
The devil's lettuce, yes.
Well, I'm kind of scrolling through this, and it's like a lot of people saying I would have done the same. But then it's like faith in humanity restored, a lot of people with crying and that like that. And it is nice. And the guy looks like he totally deserves it. Mm-hmm. And again, he's an older gentleman. He looks like, again, he's probably in his early to mid 70s. So clearly he's having to work because he's not able to make it on whatever retirement he had set up for himself or Social Security. That's a broader issue because we've seen that a lot. Like, what was it? The Target lady.
Yep.
Remember where that stupid woman berated her for wearing the Charlie Kirk shirt. And she was clearly a much older woman who was having to work. So that I like seeing people trying to take care of folks like this. But the other side of that is you've got a lot of people in the sort of the baby boomer generation who aren't prepared to retire. Or maybe he doesn't want to retire. Maybe he loves doing that. He looks like the nicest man. He just looks like a very sweet man.
Yeah, I didn't work with anyone in that age group delivering.
Yeah.
I did have
a hard job.
I had one gentleman. He was in his 50s at the time that I worked with. And he was the most amazing guy. And he only did it a couple of days a week to earn a little extra spending money. He didn't need it. He had a nice paying job. But yeah, I mean, now we're seeing more and more of this. And for whatever reason, he decided to work. I worked with a guy at a different job who was literally in his mid-70s, and I didn't think he would ever retire. He was one of those people that was just raised to work, and he found the joy in the work. And, you know, congratulations.
Honestly, that is kind of a boomer Gen X kind of thing where I know being Jen Jones, not a boomer, not Gen X, right in the middle there. Always kind of think, well, you know, Social Security is not going to be there for me. You know, we were a very jaded generation. We were made all the promises by the boomers. And then by the time we graduated high school, it's like, yeah, never mind. Not so much. So we never kind of, I always expected. Plus the other thing I know within my grandfather's case, who was survived the Great Depression, once he retired, he passed away very shortly thereafter. He had no focus, no meaning, no. He kind of wandered around turning off the lights after everybody and driving my grandmother crazy. So, you know, I think that, you know, this is great if this guy's out there earning some money. And he's clearly a people person. He's just, again, he just looks like a guy you'd want as your grandpa.
No, yeah. Well, and I just sit here and I go, and I met people with that mentality, too, where it's like, they didn't pass away, thank goodness, when they retired, but you felt like if they were to retire, it's admitting they're at an age to retire. And how much longer are they going to make it if they do that? And I'm kind of going, it's a different generation. I don't see it nowadays as much because that kind of idea of I'm going to work till this and then I'm going to retire and live out happily. And I'm kind of going, yeah, but at the same time, the future is full of questions and you need to be able to pivot when you need to.
Especially with AI on the horizon, it is. And my grandfather was a newspaper man. And I think it was especially true with men. Their whole identity really was wrapped up in what they did for a living. And then to a lesser degree, their family. And they'd worked a lot of hours. And that was back when you could have mom at home because dad was able to do that. So there was that a little bit of a different shift. And now you've got, well, I don't want to work at all. I want universal basic income. So it's very different.
We're not all the mayor of Seattle's husband. Come on. Some of us do go out and work. And if we're not working, we're watching our kids.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see how high this goes up because this is starting to be a trend. And I think it is a little bit sad that it's treated with shock. And that's too bad because he just, like you said, you did it when you were driving. I'm sure a lot of others did. Now it's like it's sort of a unicorn thing, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's everyone is so wrapped up in themselves to see them go out and sit there and say, hey, this guy's at an age when a lot of people are retiring. He's still out delivering pizzas and going the extra mile to make sure that the customers are happy. And I sit there and I applaud it. And I look forward to these kinds of stories because they give us something joyful to end the show with.
Right? Exactly. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to dig more into Portland, asking other counties for money. So we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.